Support comes from Mosby Building Arts, trusted for remodeling projects big and small. Ideas at callmosby.com.
This is St. Louis on the Air from St. Louis Public Radio. I'm Elaine Cha. Music lovers will descend upon Grand Center this weekend for the 5th annual Music at the Intersection Festival. Headliners include Patti LaBelle, Common and Pete Rock, and Leon Thomas. Frankie Doo-Wop and the Thundercats, as well as Black Spade, are among the St. Louis musicians who will take the stage, as is one with local roots, jazz trumpeter and composer Keon Harold. He's performed at every Music at the Intersection and is serving as its artist in residence. Keon, welcome to St. Louis on the Air.
Hello, it's a pleasure to be here. Pleasure to be back home.
Yes, and it is a return back. Now, you are the only artist in Maddie's history to perform at every iteration of this festival. What was the OG festival like, you know, back in 2009?
The OG festival was amazing. I remember I played at the Fox, which was incredible. I played, it was myself, it was Gregory Porter, I think Layla Hathaway. It was beautiful. And the Baylor Project, I think they were over at the Sheldon. It was a lot smaller, but the impact and the music and the high level of curation has always been a thing. It's been beautiful.
Mm-hmm. Did you feel in any way like you were a guinea pig for that first festival? I mean, or was that maybe part of the attraction?
No, that was part of the attraction. Shout out to Chris Hansen for his incredible vision and all the people, you know, connected to Music at the Intersection. Now, you know, Maddie now. Mm-hmm. So it's been special. Again, it's always been a high level of curation, and I'm happy to be a part of that team as well now. So mm-hmm. It's cool.
So that first year was at the Fabulous Fox?
Yes.
Where did you play in the years after, and how did you build your set list? Was it dependent on where you were going to play?
I did the Fox, I did the Big Top. Let me see, I think I've done pretty much, I've played on pretty much every stage, whether it was either my set or, you know, coming, you know, playing with the Black Pumas or sitting in, you know, with Soul Live and other people. So, you know, what makes me interesting in this role is I'm not in St. Louis anymore, but I'm all over, mm-hmm. all over the world. So I have a lot of good friends all over. The way I built my set list, it's always about the people. It's always about the energy. You know, I have a record out called Foreverland that I had pretty much introduced last year. But since then, it's gone on to be nominated for a Grammy Award. It's a good place to really put my feelings out in the air.
Mm-hmm. What you are going through in your career and in your life, how much of that guides what you decide to play or whom you decide to play with each time you come back?
A lot has to do with, you know, the climate of the world, whether that be politics, whether that be stuff that happens in my family or, you know, loves, whatever's going on. I'm an artist, so my job is to really paint the times. I really believe that. When I come out and play, it's about getting the people moving. It's about touching people's souls and really connecting musically, you know, on a high level.
Mm-hmm. Now, your body of work is vast. Mm-hmm. That's one way to put it. And we've described you as a jazz trumpeter, composer. I've been thinking about the term multidisciplinary musician. But a single word or label just does not do justice to all the different ways that you make and create music. Mm-hmm. And in those capacities, you've collaborated with some big names.
Absolutely.
Beyonce, Jay-Z, mm-hmm. Bilal, Maxwell and Mac Miller. It's just a sampling.
Mm-hmm.
Now, we are partial to NPR's Tiny Desk Concerts.
Okay, as you should be.
Yeah, and Bobby Carter, who's the host and producer.
Yes, indeed.
Is St. Louis native,
absolutely.
Right?
Absolutely.
Is he somebody you know?
Yep.
Okay.
Yep.
So you play trumpet for Common's Tiny Desk Return in 2016.
And which was the only one done at the White House.
Oh, okay. I did not realize
that.
Okay. And then 2 years later, your Badass Brass returned to NPR Music in Washington, D.C. when neo-soul artist Erykah Badu had her Tiny Desk concert in 2017. Let's hear some of that.
My eyes are green, 'cause I eat a lot of vegetables. It don't have nothing to do with your new friend. Oh, I don't care, I swear, I'm too through with you. I am. You
don't. Talk about a vibe.
Classic.
What were you doing in your playing there?
Oh, you know, I was, you know, summoning the ancestors. You know, that's the blues. That's everything right there. And my sister, Erykah Badu, it was, you know, it's always an honor to collaborate with her.
Mm-hmm. Now, if we fast forward to last August, you played music of your own making at the Tiny Desk Keon, and you did so with Gotta Go, Outer Space as your opener. And that was Keon Harold playing Gotta Go, Outer Space at his 2024 Tiny Desk concert. I noticed that in both of the videos of the playing that you did at Tiny Desk, you're wearing sunglasses. And as you're sitting here listening, kind of vibing with this, you also have your eyes closed.
Always.
What's and going on?
You know, honestly, that's one of my methods to my madness. Like, I close my eyes a lot because I really want to connect to the art, to the music that's in motion. Sometimes, you know, it's good to show my eyes. Sometimes I just put the glasses on so I can literally go to my, you know, sacred oblivion somewhere, wherever that is, you know, so I can really make the magic and close out the world a little bit so I can make a new world of music in the moment. So that's what happens to me.
And what was it like to play your own music in that setting where you had played for others before?
Oh, it was a beautiful thing. I think, you know, it's kind of a coming of age kind of thing artistically. My friend Common, I call him my big brother. My first professional gig was working with Common. So to have him come, to be a part of his Tiny Desk was one thing. Erykah Badu, again, you know, when I came up to New York, it was a special time. She was working on her record, Mama's Gun, and that was one of the songs that was from that record. So I saw that, you know, and I was a big fan of Roy Hargrove. So to see that, you know, and to actually be a part of that was special. But then to come back and play my own music was something, you know, it's a dream come true, you know. Mm-hmm.
You said that you go into, quote, sacred oblivion when you perform. Tell us more about that. And is outer space part of that?
Absolutely. Outer space is a part of that. You know, that's the searching. I mean, as a jazz musician, you know, I guess the first part of who I am as an artist, you know, improvisation is very important. But improvisation is not just randomness. It's really, you know, thought out in so many different ways. It's, you know, when we read a bunch of books that, you know, we don't know what's in the book yet, but we know what each word means. We know how to break down, you know, And we know how to discover words. We know how to use them in a crafty way.
Yeah.
So that's how I am with my harmony, with my melodies. It's nothing new, but it's how I put it together that makes it new.
As I listened to your playing, I will confess that I didn't understand exactly like what was going on.
Mm-hmm.
Is part of the reason you work in so many different genres to kind of teach people how to understand what you were doing with your trumpet?
Interesting. I wouldn't say that. I think it's more of me attempting to connect with people, not necessarily trying to teach them. It's more about how to connect with them with sounds, with vibrations, which, sometimes vibrations can go deeper than what a word can actually mean. So I'm, as an artist, I'm trying to connect with people's souls.
Mm-hmm. Improvisation, how is it that you approach that? Is there a way that you see things? Is it very much a feeling?
Mm-hmm. It's both. It's a feeling. It's everything that I've studied, in college, to now. It's all of the music I've listened to and taken in. It's how I can express, what I've heard, from Count Basie to Miles Davis to Bach, to Chopin, to Mahler. All of these things are very important to me. So I take what that is, basically put it in my head, which is my computer, and give, a new outlook, a new perspective, a new spin on it, with the notes that I know, the 12 notes, A, B, C, D, E, F, G, and give you something that's never been heard before,
mm-hmm.
you know.
Did you come to jazz before the trumpet, or was it the other way around?
It was the trumpet first, but jazz kind of came, soon after. My grandfather was a big influence on that. He had a drum and bugle corps, which helped thousands and thousands of people learn how to play music, in Kinloch and Ferguson and all over St. Louis.
What did that look like, what your grandfather did?
It was an incredible thing. I mean, he was a police officer before, but he wanted to help kids. So he would spend lots of time through the summers taking kids all over, America to play music, to learn music. So that was an incredible thing that, I was just blessed to be a part of. That's how I started playing.
Mm-hmm. I'm talking with jazz trumpeter Keon Harold about his career and about this year's music at the Intersection Festival and Conference. So the last time you were on our show, Keon, was in May of 2021. And at that time, you spoke about your appointment to a 3-year term as Jazz St. Louis's creative advisor.
Mm-hmm.
So the first part of my question here is, why did you accept that appointment?
Because it was a homecoming of a different sort. It was special. I mean, I had been, growing up in St. Louis and going to Jazz St. Louis before, previously called the Bistro, since I was like 14, 15 years old. So it was special to come home and actually, bring my expertise, bring my vision, bring my art, to the place that I call home. You know, that was very special to me.
And that 3-year period is now done.
Mm-hmm.
What do you feel you were able to contribute to the growth and the development of jazz in your hometown?
Oh, man, it was, I got a chance to really expose people to some artists that they may have never come in contact with.
That was
such as P.J. Morton, such as Christy DeShille, such as Terrace Martin and The Stout. A bunch of people that I was able to bring here really are, to me, the defining the culture of music right now.
Mm-hmm. How much of the reasoning behind your accepting the appointment also had to do with the reason you decided to play music at the Intersection, which was the first one was the same year?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Listen, for me, I'm a St. Louis St. Louis. I'm a son of St. Louis, so as much as I can possibly get home, I come home. So the Intersection is an incredible, incredible organization, and the fact that they really worked in lock and key with Jazz St. Louis was, you know, was perfect for me. That I get a chance to give back, I get a chance, you know, to speak to so many students and really impact in that way, get a chance to perform, get a chance to premiere new music. I did a work for Jazz St. Louis called Where Are We Now? I got a chance to premiere that. So it was, you know, all of those things are lock and key to me. Anytime I come to St. Louis, it's like a family reunion to me.
We noted earlier that you have played every music at the Intersection.
Five years.
Yeah. Now, Maddie, that's a half decade.
Mm-hmm.
And this is, I believe, the second year that you are the festival's artist in residence.
Mm-hmm.
Is that right?
Mm-hmm.
What has that looked like?
It's been, you know, just, again, help with curation, you know, really taking on, you know, really working with the festival proprietors to make things happen. You know, if I know somebody, if I have an idea about, you know, a different artist, you know, does that work for the festival? You know, how could we do it? Should we push hard for that? Or, you know, what do you think? So, you know, that's been a really, you know, a really trusting role that I really take seriously.
Mm-hmm.
that I've been a part of.
Yeah. Have there been any instances in which you have had to make a case for inviting anyone?
We have to make a case for everybody, because it's a lot of moving parts, and it all has to make sense.
Mm-hmm.
You know,
when you look out into the crowd and you see people, you know, here for Maddie, what is the thing that makes you come back year after year?
Oh man, it's the energy, it's the vibe, the vibrance of the St. Louis people. It's such a beautiful thing. Everybody's here. Everybody's soulful. Everybody has, you know, everybody's coming out to have a really good time. So that's special.
Mm-hmm.
And to see people moving, to see them get into their zone and close their eyes the way I do, I know we're all doing the right thing.
Mm-hmm. Have you felt the influences or, you know, the vibrations of, in particular, St. Louis artists that you have then taken back to where you are now?
Oh, absolutely. I mean, St. Louis is such a really rich place to come from. And I think, you know, the Most High that I'm from here. But when we think about people like, you know, Miles Davis, we think about people like, you know, Tina Turner and Ike Turner and Donnie Hathaway. So many people have, you know, been here and been raised here, you know. I don't take it for granted. It's special. And, you know, and again, there's a whole nother generation of incredible people. My brother Emmanuel Harold, who plays with Gregory Porter all the time, Jamal Nichols, and so many other people. You know, it's been great to grow up here and be a part of this legacy.
Mm-hmm. And as someone, Keon, who has experienced Maddie as a performer, as someone who's involved with the curation, and as someone who is part of all these audiences,
mm-hmm.
who are appreciating the music, what have you seen develop over time?
I've seen many relationships develop. I've seen, again, people be introduced to art that they haven't been a part of, that they hadn't known about. So that's one of the most special things. I you know, suggested that we bring an incredible artist named Arouge, who will be performing here for the first time. And, you know, that's so special.
Tell us about this artist.
Arouge is an incredible artist. She's Grammy nominated this year. As a matter of fact, we were nominated in the same category.
Oh.
But, you know, we didn't win. Shout out to Michelle Ndegelchello, who won the category. But
mm-hmm.
the category was pretty stacked, because it also had the great Robert Glasper and Andre 3000. We were all in the same category. It was just,
it seems unfair.
It was a great, you know, it was a really great company. So, but anyway, she's spectacular, incredible singer, you know, Indian, and she just kills, you know, the way she approaches jazz, the intersection is there. And again, the idea of the intersection is how does this music meet? You know, you got hip hop, but what influences does it have? Mm-hmm. So, you know, so all of these, you know, different influences is special, and what makes this festival special. You know, there's so many artists coming in now. It's a lot of world music stuff that's coming in this year. My good friend Pedrito Martinez, incredible percussionist, artist from Cuba, just outstanding. And Brenda, she's coming. She's going to kill it again from Cuba. Weedy Brahmas from St. Louis, incredible percussion. He has a band called The Hands of Time that I will play with them on the opening night, Friday night. So I'm looking forward to that. So there's going to be so much rhythm. There's going to be so much cultural depth and heart that, you know, I don't think people can come to Intersection. People can't come to Maddie and not be changed when they leave.
Mm-hmm. You started going to Jazz at the Bistro, mm-hmm. which is now Jazz St. Louis, when you were 14.
Yeah.
Had you been able to go to Maddie as a teenager, how do you think that might have affected your trajectory?
Oh, wow. You know, I think it would have opened me up even more than I am now, because the variety, an array of artists that are there this year. You know, it's not just one thing. You know, it's all kind of soul music. You got Modesky, you got Branford Marsalis, you got Patti LaBelle, you got Common, you got Lucky Day, you got Leon Thomas. There's so many incredible artists and who all have something to say. I think as a youngster, I would have been inspired. I think as an artist, the biggest thing is to get somewhere where you're inspired. I was inspired at Jazz at the Bistro. At Maddie, we're trying to curate inspirational experiences. I think as a 14-year-old, I would have been, you know, all smiles.
Who in this year's lineup are you most looking forward to seeing perform here?
I would say Butcher Brown. I'm looking forward to seeing Butcher Brown. I'm looking forward to seeing Arouge. I just brought her up.
Yeah, Butcher Brown.
Butcher Brown. Yeah. They're a group from Virginia. Really, really, really dope collective of musicians. And they play the music that, you know, they straddle the lines from jazz and soul. So when you sit with them, you're going to be grooving. You're going to be feeling the vibes.
What kind of conversations happen among the artists who come here?
Oh, man, you know, the conversations are, you know, how we're going to collaborate. The conversations are, you know, you've inspired me for such a long time. It's great to meet you. Or it's the other way around. It's the conversations that, you know, that, again, lead to the collaborations that will bring us music in 2027. So all of those things are super special. Mm-hmm. You know, again, I've met a lot of people, just being around Maddie, and, you know, again, every year is better. Every year is bigger. This 5 years has been a crazy expansion of art. And again, shout out to the Maddie team.
Mm-hmm. What can we expect from you at this year's Maddie? Will you be joining Common and Pete Rock?
Listen, I'm going to be moving around, so keep your eyes peeled. I'll be popping up on as many stages as I possibly can.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I'll be doing, you know, some tribute. We're going to do a tribute to Miles Davis with a few trumpet players from St. Louis, Casimu Taylor, Danny Campbell, Dustin Shrum. It's going to be fun.
Mm-hmm.
We're going to, you know, I'm going to be moving around, be playing with Weedy. I'm going to see where I can duck my head in. Mm-hmm. And then I'll do my show on Sunday night at 10 p.m. I think it'll be kind of closing out the festival.
Mm-hmm.
So that's going to be fun. I'll have Pedrito Martinez and Brenda. She'll join me. And I'll have an incredible singer from Memphis named Emmy Seacrest who will be there and my band. And we're going to play some incredible music. And, you know, we're going to keep the spirits, you know, high.
Mm-hmm. And as we close, you've talked elsewhere about the primacy of dopeness. This is something that you look for. Where do you most anticipate feeling dopeness this year?
Oh, man, this entire festival. You know, it's so interesting that, you know, I talk to a lot of people all over. You know, I live in L.A. right now. And, you know, when I post, you know, the festival, they're like, oh, my God, where is this? How is that happening? You know, and just knowing that this is, again, in my hometown where I grew up, and to see the growth of this incredible festival, knowing that we have the world's best, absolutely, is such a special thing. So I think the dopeness will be here at Maddie all weekend, starting Friday night, the 12th to the 14th. Don't miss it.
Keon Harold is a jazz trumpeter and composer and the artist in residence for Music at the Intersection. That festival takes place this weekend in Grand Center. Keon, thank you so much for joining us today.
My pleasure. Thank you for having me.
This episode was produced by Darius Varner. Audio engineering and podcast design by Aaron Dorr.
Our executive producer is Alex Hoyer.
St. Louis on the Air is a production of St. Louis Public Radio. Understanding starts here.
Do you find yourself regularly listening to episodes of St. Louis on the Air? Suggest us to a friend you think might enjoy our conversations. And leave us a review and rating on Apple Podcasts on the App Store. It's the simplest way to help people discover our show. Thanks.
St. Louis Public Radio is a member-supported service of the University of Missouri, St. Louis.
The Gateway brings you the day's news each weekday from around the St. Louis region and the state capitals in Jefferson City.
Our schools are accredited. We don't need this bill.
And Springfield.
How many more years must pass before lawmakers see time is of the essence?
I'm Abby Larico. Join me each weekday for The Gateway on the STLPR app or wherever you get podcasts.